All right, Shavuosai, good morning. Good morning. Let's begin. So we are, today's daf is Peches. We are picking up Pei Zayin Amud Beis. So today's daf is 88. We're picking up 87b. Two lines up from the bottom. Lahach Gisa Miha Tifshot. So we'll say again, we have a beautiful day. I feel a lot of pressure to live up to the WhatsApp message from last night. But Emir Hashem, it's going to be, I realize I sent it to the wrong shear group, so I apologize. But just kidding. So again, we're going to have actually a beautiful daf today. We're going to see Amud Beis is going to be some beautiful agarata. And so there's some beautiful, really magnificent insights into the big day kahuna. So we're going to get through, and Amud Aleph is actually going to have a couple of very interesting sugyas. So we're going to get through Emir Hashem Halacha, Agarato, all in one day. Let's go. So the Hachki, so remember, I left you off yesterday with an incredible question, which is, what is the status of Avir HaMizbeach? What is the status of the airspace of the altar? Does the airspace of the altar count as being on top of the Mizbeach itself? Or is the Avir of the Mizbeach essentially not related to the Mizbeach at all, but rather the equivalent, ultimately, again, to being on ground level of the Mizbeach? That's the fundamental shaila we left off with yesterday. The Gemara didn't solve it. Now let's answer it. Lahach kisamiya tifshot. You can answer this question from a different perspective. The Avir Mizbeach ki Mizbeach tami. It must be that the airspace of the Mizbeach is like the Mizbeach. How so? Because if you're going to think that the airspace of the Mizbeach is not like the Mizbeach, top of Peches, Chatas Ha'ov Psula, Hechi Maza Midama. So we'll say, remember again, what do you do? What do you do with the Chatas of the, remember, Chatas Ha'ov, the Malika is done, by the top of the Mizbeach. Let's say you went ahead and you did the Malika, Shalom B'Shma. You did it not for the intention of the carbon. So we'll say in that case, again, that's one of the situations where im Allah lo yered. If it's up already, you don't take it down. So how would you be able to go ahead and do the hazah, do the sprinkling of the blood, havele yarud? So we'll say, if avir of the mizbeach is not like the mizbeach, then when the kohen is holding the bird on the top of the mizbeach, it's not on the mizbeach itself, it's in the airspace. If Avir is not like the Mizbeach, then what? Then that is the equivalent as if the bird has already been taken down. If the bird has already been taken down, then everyone agrees that what? It does not go back up. Yet you know that's not the halacha. Once the Chatas Ha'of is on top of the Mizbeach, we do the Hazah there, to which the Gemara says, Sharp Sulim, Hechi Zarek Lumidama. Similarly, again, I will say, any other case, of psulim, any other cases of invalidations, how would you be able to do this rika, even after they've been taken up to the top of the mizbeach, if after all, avir is not like the mizbeach itself, once it's in the airspace, it's as if it's already been taken down. If it's been taken down, then it can't be offered up, to which the Gemara says, demagaluhu. So ultimately, again, it must be a case that what? It could be talking about a situation where the bird or the other sacrifice is actually touching the top of the mizbeach. So the Gemara says, but if that's the case, that it's touching the top of the mizbeach, ha hazohi mitsuihi zazrika shvicha. So you want to say, if that's the case, that the bird is touching the top of the mizbeach, then what? It's not really going to be a sprinkling, but rather it's going to be like a draining of the blood. It's not going to be a zrika, it's going to be a spilling. Vod, derech hazoh bekach, derech zrika bekach. Is that the way you do hazoh? Is that the way you do zrika? Amar Ravashi, so what Ravashi says as follows. Ravashi says, understand that when we are talking about the coin standing on top of the Mizbeach, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Amar Ravashi, Liolan Bayon Mehalo Tifshot, Da Gavra Barosha Mizbeach Koi, Vinoket Lu Vichia Gavno Lomi Boilon Ba'avir Mizbeach Leel, Da Hanachas Kufo Barosha Mizbeach Kanachas Karbonami. So as Rav Ashi comes along, Rav Ashi says something very interesting. He says, at the end of the day, in a case where the Kohen is standing on the Mizbeach and holding the object, that's not a Shaila of Avir. That's not a Shaila of Avir. We'll say, why is that not a Shaila of Avir? because at the end of the day, the Kohen is standing on the Mizbeach, and that's Kielu what? That's as if what? That's as if the object is sitting on the top of the Mizbeach as well. That's not our Shailah of Avir. Everyone agrees that when the Kohen is standing on the Mizbeach and holding something, it's as if that item is at rest on top of the Mizbeach. That's not our Shailah. What's our Shailah? Ravashi says, if you could imagine, if the Kohen is holding a stick, and the sacrificial item is attached to the stick, and he suspends the item over the airspace of the Mizbeach. He's got a lot of time on his hands. So we'll say, so what? So the Shaila in that case is, what's the status of Avir? So we'll say, this is very important, because up until now, we assumed that the discussion about Avir, we'll say, was what? Was a situation where Halacha Lamaisa, the coin standing on the Mizbeach, holding the object in his hand, and because it's not at rest on the floor, we'll call it, of the Mizbeach, it's considered to be, in the avir, in the airspace. And that was it. We begin to see is that, in fact, is not the case. When the Kohen is holding it, and he's standing on the Mizbeach, it's as if it's at rest on the Mizbeach. What's our Shaila? Our Shaila is if the Kohen was suspending it with a stick over the Mizbeach, what would be the status there? So we'll say, so that's how the Gemara ends, and the Gemara says, Teku. We're not sure about that case. We'll say, what is the Halacha Lamaisa? So listen to this. So the Rambam brings down, in Hilchos Pesudei Mekudashin, Perek Gimel Halacha Yudbeis. Here is the Halacha. Va'avir Mizbeach Kimizbeach. We'll say, how do we paskin? The airspace of the Mizbeach is like the Mizbeach itself. Ve'imurei Kachim Kalim, Shalom Kolim Zigazadam. Fine. So what's we'll the Rambam then goes through. Then goes through the rest of it. But I will say, that is the halacha. Airspace of the Mizbeach, ultimately, again, is like the Mizbeach itself. Good. Mishnah. We'll say, Peiches Amadalef, about 7 lines down. We'll say, another interesting Mishnah. Kli halach, Mekachin Esalach. So we'll say, as we're going to see now, there were different utensils in the Beis HaMikdash. Some utensils were used for liquids. Other utensils were used for solids. Now, we'll say, now understand that some of these utensils were also measuring utensils. Because again, certain different types of carbonos require different volumes or different amounts of liquid, different amounts of solids, of flours. So we'll say, so therefore giving you a different kelim. So watch this. So now, what we're assuming over here, we actually said this in the previous two Mishnayos ago, the same way that the Mizbeach is Mekadesh, right? When something is put on the Mizbeach sanctifies it. The Kevesh, the ramp is Mekadesh, sanctifies something. What else? A Kli Sharis. Utensils, service utensils, also sanctify an item that is placed inside of it. What we're now going to see is that service utensils only sanctify in specific ways. For example, Kli Halach, if you have a utensil that is usually used for liquids, so Mekachin Es Halach. We'll say that is if you introduce liquids into that utensil, so ultimately again, it sanctifies the liquids. Sanctifies the liquids. So we'll say, so the inference from that is what? But what doesn't it sanctify? Solids. So in other words, now what we're beginning to see, we'll say, is that a Kli Sharis, when we say a Kli Sharis is Mekadesh, a Kli Sharis is Mekadesh that which the Kli Sharis is made for. But not necessarily something that doesn't belong in that Kli Sharis. So the Gemara says, Umidos Yavish, Mekadesh as a Yavish. Similarly, measuring utensils used for dry items, for solid, we'll call, I don't want to call it solid, because like, for example, flour. Flour is also considered to be like a solid item. Dry items ultimately sanctify those dry items. But apparently, if you were to introduce liquids into that utensil, it would not sanctify it. And Kli Halach Mekadesh Es HaYavesh, here we go. Shabbos say a Kli used for liquid measures does not go ahead and sanctify something that is a Yavesh. Below Yavesh Mekadesh Es Halach. And something used for Yavesh dry measures will not sanctify something that is used for liquid. Good. That's the first principle. Klia Kodesh Shinik Rabbah said, this is amazing. So if you have, what happens if you have a Klia Kodesh, a service utensil, that got a hole, right? A hole developed inside the utensil. So we'll say, what do you do with it? Im osin bahem me'im malachton shahayu osin vehin shlemim mekachin. So we'll say, listen to this. So now, what happens if you have a Kli Sharis that has a hole? So we'll say, so the Shaila now is what? If you place something inside of it, is it still Mekadesh, the item that's placed inside? So the Gemara says, it depends. What does it depend on? Even with the hole, can the Kli Sharis be used for its intended purpose? So for example, I will say, if you have a Kli Sharis that's used for solid items, right, dry items, and it has a relatively small hole, it's quite possible that it could still be totally used ultimately again for the item. Or if the hole is towards the top of the kli, a place where either the liquids or the solids are not usually placed. So halacha lemaisa again, the kli. So the idea is, if the kli is still usable in its normal way, even with the hole, then ultimately it's mekadesh that which is put inside of it. Ve'im lav. But if the kli can no longer be mekadesh something because of the hole, then ein mekadshin. Then ultimately, again, the utensil does not sanctify what is placed inside of it. Amazing. V'chulon, ein mekadshin, ella bakodesh. And I will say, furthermore, last halacha, klei shareis, service utensils, are only mekadesh their contents when? Inside the Beis HaMikdash. Whereas the kli shareis does not have the power to sanctify something outside of the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say three basic halachos. So utensils only go ahead and sanctify the type of item they are made for. So lach utensils for lach, yavesh utensils for yavesh. Number two, if the kli has a hole, ultimately, again, as long as the kli is still usable in its normal way, it will be mekadesh the contents. And number three, kli sharis is only mekadesh something if it's inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Beautiful. Amar Shmuel. Here we go. Lo shanu ela midos ava mizrakos mekadshin. So we'll say Shmuel comes along and he qualifies the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if you look at Rashi, lo shanu, de'ein kli halach mekadshin es hayavesh. So remember again, the Mishnah said that if you have a utensil that is used for liquids, so that utensil cannot go ahead and be mekadesh solids, and vice versa as well. Shmuel says that's only true with measuring utensils, but mizrakos, we'll say mizrakos are bowls. Bowls. Now we'll say bowls could be used for both. About mizrakos and mekadshin, we'll say stam b'kol kli sharis bowls can be mekadesh both liquids and solids. If you look at Rashi says over here, Ela midos, zayin midos halach. Because again, remember, when it comes to measuring utensils, there were mamish item-specific measuring utensils. You had, it's not like the pshat, like you had one measuring utensil, you just measured out. There were different measuring utensils used for different types of kabanos, and again, for different ones for solid measures, different ones for liquid measures. Ava mizrakos, Rashi says, when it comes to bowls, Afagav de kli halach ninu mekachin yavish tihechi de chazu lelach chazu lusoleshu yavish. Because both say Shmuel's logic is when it comes to bowls, bowls are bowls. That ultimately the same bowls that could be used for liquid could also just as easily be used for solid and vice versa. Shene emar shneim meleim soles. So amar yavachem edifti ravina mincha lachihi. I don't understand what kind of raya are you bringing from that pasuk. Shnehem Maleim Soles. Soles ultimately again Rabosai is a mincha, right? Literally mincha lacha Rabosai means like a moister mincha. Amar lo nitzricha. I should say mincha lacha really means like a liquid mincha. But say kabba mincha was prepared in different ways. Sometimes the kabba mincha itself was more of a liquid batter. So I will say this pasuk is referring to a mincha of a liquid batter. So what do you see over here? Any kind of raya for yavish? To which the Gemara says amrlei lo nitzricha ela le yavish sheba. What we're referring to over here is the flour inside of that mincha mixture, which is considered to be a yavish ibay sema. Mincha legabe dam ki yavesh dami. The other pasuk Rabbah says that mincha, when compared to blood, ultimately again has the status of a solid. So we'll say, so this is the first qualification here. Shmuel's first qualification, namely, that the din of the Mishnah, the liquid, we'll call it liquid utensils, sanctify liquid, solid utensils, sanctify solids, is only a din in the measuring utensils. But when it comes to more generic utensils, like bowls, so we'll say a bowl will be mekadesh anything. A kli sharis bowl will be mekadesh liquids and solids, irrespective of what the primary use of that bowl is. Next halacha. Amar Shmuel. Kli sharis in mekadeshin ela shleimer. We'll say this is amazing. Shmuel says next, that ultimately, again, a kli sharis is only mekadesh shleimin. I will say shleimin, Rashi says, over lafuke nakvu. If the utensil has a hole in it, then ultimately, again, it cannot go ahead and be mekadesh. So the Gemara says, ein mekadeshin ela meleim. Furthermore, it is only mekadesh if it's full. So we'll say, so halacha number one is shleimin. Now we're going to define the scope bless you. They define the scope of what it means to be a whole kli. We'll discuss. Next, in Mekadshin Elamalein, it is only Mekadish ultimately again when it's full. Now, Rashi says over here, this is the last of the short lines in Rashi, in Mekadshin Elamalein, Kilomar, Sheyehei Bahen Shir Shalem Etzarech Ledavar. So what's it is actually very interesting, that it seems to be saying over here, a kli sharis only sanctifies if you have the right amount of carbonic material inside of it. So for example, if the mincha had to be X, but you only have X minus Y, the kli sharis will not be mekadesh until the full measure of the item is inside of the kli. Next, in mekadshin ela misochan, we'll say kli sharis is only mekadesh on the inside of the kli. We'll say, what does that mean? What that means is, if you take an item and you touch it to the outside of the kli sharis is not mekadesh that. Only if you place it inside the kli is the kli sharis mekadesh it. Va'amrila. So we'll say a different, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. A different version. Va'amrila. A mekadshin ela shleimin. We'll say other possibility. Again, this is just an alternate version of the previous statement of Shmuel. What are the qualifications? Number one, the kli has to be whole. Umeleim. And it has to be full. Umi bifnim. And ultimately, again, from the inside. So the Gemara says, "Umay benayu." We'll say, "What's the distinction between these two versions?" To which the Gemara says, "Berutze midos." We'll say, "This is actually very interesting." Berutze midos means, we'll say, "What happens if you fill up the kli sharis?" Let's go with the mincha because I think it's just the easiest example. You fill up, let's say, the kli sharis with a mincha, and we'll say, "What happens?" The mincha rises above the lip of the utensil. Does the mixture above the lip, right? Does that make sense? Yeah, above the lip of the utensil, is that sanctified or not? Look at Rashi for just a moment. It's the third wide line in Rashi. Beirutze midos ika. So Rashi says over here, leman detani in mekachin ela misochan. So we'll say, according to the version that said, a kli sharis is only mekadesh on the inside. Kasavar beirutze midos lo niskachu, ela masha besoch halalo shel kli. So we'll listen to this. So the one who holds ultimately again that ein mekachin ela misochan, so we'll say misochan means what? Misochan means only the material encompassed within the walls of the utensil is kodesh. Anything that what? Rises above the walls is not kodesh. Versus the version that says mi bifnim, anything inside of the kli is kodesh. So we'll say that would even include what? The amount of carbonic material that rises above the lip of the utensil. Why? Because that's still contained inside of the utensil. So we just see an interesting nafkamina over here as to whether or not to use the lashon of mi bifnim or mi sochan. Mi sochan sounds like inside of it, encompassed within the walls, not rising above the walls. Mi bifnim means as long as it sits inside the kli, even if it rises above the lip of the utensil, it'll still be kodesh. So the Gemara goes weiter. B'mas nisa tana. So we'll say, interestingly enough, in the Braisa we learned, ein mekadshin. So we'll say, kli sharis is only mekadesh, ela shleimin, if the utensil is whole. Umaleim, and it's full, meaning the full measure of carbonic material is in there. Umi sochan, and if it's inside, or I should say, if it's contained inside, umi bifnim. And if it's in the Gemara, we'll say, what did this version do? It encompassed everything. And we'll say, this is indeed halacha l'maisa. We hold that a kli sharis has the ability to be mekadesh something, bless you, even if the carbonic material rises above the lip of the utensil. Good. I'm Rav Asi, I'm Rav Yochanan. So we'll listen to this. I'm Rav Asi, Rav Yochanan. Lo shanu ela shein daito lehosif. So we're saying, let's go back for just a moment. We just said that a kli sharis is only mekadesh, the carbonic material inside, if it's mole. If you have the full measure of whatever carbonic material you're using. So let's say again, you need two isronos of a mincha, and you only have one isron of mincha inside, so the kli sharis is not mekadesh until you have the full measure of mincha. Rabbi Yochanan comes along and gives an important qualification to this rule. Lo shanu ela shein daito lehosif. Both say, when do we say that a kli sharis does not sanctify a partial measure? That's only if what? If my intention is not to complete the measure. Aval daito lahosif rishon kodesh. I will say, if my intention is to put in a complete measure, but what am I doing? I'm just putting it a little bit at a time. But again, I have two isronos. Isronos is a measure. I have two isronos of mincha flour. I'm going to put it into the klisharis. I'm just doing a little bit at a time. So since my kavanah is to put in the entire amount, the klisharis is mekadesh each amount as it comes into the kli. So the Gemara says, "Aval da'it lozef rishon rishon kodesh." Tanya, the Rabbis that supports this, Malayin, when we say that the kli has to be full, meaning the entire amount of carbonic material must be inside the kli, a Malayin elish shleimin. So it says Malayin means that the complete measure of carbonic material in discussion has to be placed inside the kli. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Ema say, when is that true? Bizman shein da'it lozef. I will say that's true when. When do we say that the kli sharis is not mekadesh, something that is not malei? That's when my intention is not to put the full measure of carbonic material into the utensil. Aval daito lahosif, but my intention is to put the entire measure of carbonic material into the kli sharis. Then what? Rishon rishon kodesh. The Rabbi say even any little bit, that as soon as I introduce something, every bit that's put into the kli becomes kodesh. And that is indeed halacha lemaisa as well. In kli alach mekadesh. We'll say next. Remember, what did we say? We said in the Mishnah that if you have a utensil used for liquid measures and you put in a solid in there, the utensil is not mekadesh the solid, and vice versa. Utensils used for solids ultimately, again, cannot be mekadesh liquids. So says the Gemara, Amar Ravi, Tim Ravasi. So Rav said, or others say, Ravasi said, in mekadesh li kariv. When is that true? That means you're supposed to say, let's say, for example, you have a utensil that's used for liquid. And what ends up happening? You end up putting a davar yavish, right? You end up putting some dry measure in there. So we'll say, what's the halacha? The halacha is the kli sharis is not mekadesh it for sanctification purposes. In other words, you can't offer it up on a mizbeach. Aval mekadshin lipasel. Rabbi say, what can it do? If you put this item into a kli sharis, ultimately, again, it could go ahead and sanctify it for disqualification purposes. Rabbi say, what does that mean? If you look at Rashi, it's in the wide lines of Rashi, six lines in. Avam mekadshin kli alachas yavish lipasel, shem yatza chutz lekilayim, onogo bol tvul yom nifsa. Rabbi say, it's actually very interesting. So a liquid utensil cannot be mekadesh a dry item for the purposes of offering it up in a sacrificial capacity. But what it does do is it gives it sacred status. What happens if you give an item sacred status, Rabbi Yosi? Then, for example, a very simple example, if you take it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, then what happens? It's possible. So Rabbi Yosi, now it's a very interesting qualification. What the Gemara now is saying is as follows. If I take mincha, let's say a dry mincha, and I put it in a kli sharis that's normally used for liquids, can I take that mincha then offer it up on the mizbeach? The answer is no. Why? Because a liquid kli sharis cannot sanctify a dry item. But by putting it in a kli sharis, even though now it can't be offered up, it endows it with sanctity. That sanctity now says that it is subject to becoming pasul. So if you were to take it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, now, which I will say, the logic in that is, you can't come into contact with the kli sharis and remain unchanged. There's an incredible musr here. Every exposure to holiness changes us. Maybe it doesn't change us in the way we need to be changed, or maybe it doesn't affect the fully comprehensive cathartic change that needs to occur, but any exposure to Kedusha is helpful. So I take a davar yavish, I put it in the kli sharis for a davar lach. Will it sanctify it as a sacrifice? No. But it does endow it with certain sacrificial sanctity to the point that now it has to reside inside the Beis HaMikdash. It can't be taken out, and if you take it out, it becomes possible. It'll be subject to Mila as well. That is correct. Se'ikid demasni laha. So I'll say, others, go ahead and put this statement over here. So, ein mevi'in menachos unesachim, ein mevi'in menachos unesachim u'minchas be'ima u'bikur min ha'meduma. We'll say, you're not allowed to bring a mincha, or nesachim, or wine libations, or minchas be'ima, or bikurim from meduma. We'll say meduma ultimately, again, is an item or produce, or I should say, it's not necessarily not only produce, but entities which truma is mixed into. We'll say the idea is that even though these are all things that are brought in a sacrificial capacity, the halacha is that they can't be brought from something that is already sanctified. So the Gemara says, Ve'in tzarech lomar me'arla u'miklai akerem, and all the more so you can't bring it from Ola, from Arla or Klai akerem, which are forbidden substances, v'mhevi lo kadesh, lo kiddish. And if you brought, I will say, menachos, nesachim, minchas behema, bikurim, from these items, so it doesn't become kodesh. Amarav v'item ravasi, lo kiddish likarev, Aval kiddush lepasal. But say again, so it comes on Rav Asi and says, it's true you can't offer it, but ultimately it is endowed with some level of sanctity, and therefore again it is subject to becoming disqualified in a sacrificial capacity. Good. So we'll say, so that, by the way, all of these things we're talking about today, these are all halacha lemaisa. All halacha lemaisa. Tanu Rabbanan. So the Gemara goes weiter. Kli kodesh shenikvu. So we'll say it's actually a fascinating halacha that we're going to get to Agarata. So Tanu Rabbanan. Kli kodesh shenikvu. We'll say if you have a kli kodesh, a kli sharis, right? A kli sharis, a service utensil, shenikvu. We'll say that has a hole in it. It has a hole in it. So we'll say, so now what do I do with the hole? Ein masichin osan, ve'ein masichin l'sochan. We'll say, listen to this. So ein masichin osan, Rashi says, is you can't go ahead and like, I guess the right word is like, well, this is melting, like, if you have an iron, if you have a metallic utensil, so if you heat it up enough, what can you do? You can manipulate the metal and close up the hole. I don't know what the technical term is. Smelting is smelting. Okay, so understand, we're here, I'm not introducing anything far into it. In other words, I'm just heating up the kli and manipulating the metal to close up the hole. You're not allowed to do that. But say, that's patching. You can't, like, take another piece of metal and plug up the hole in the kli. You can't do that. So we'll say, that means you can't take lead, melt it down, and patch up the kli. Nifkamu, we'll say if the kli, now nifkamu literally means like, paga means like it becomes chipped. It becomes chipped or broken in some way. Ein maskinin osan. You don't fix it. You don't fix it. Sakin shenifkan. So by the way, what's the logic over here? So if you look at Rashi says, ve'ein masichin lesochan ever. We'll say it's five lines up from the bottom in Rashi. Rashi says, listom hanekev. So if there's a hole in the kli, you can't go ahead and melt down some lead and patch it up with lead. Why not? Both say, this is amazing. Vikulu mishum demechse ka'anius v'lav orach ara. Both say, because you know what this looks like? This looks like a poor person. You see, both say, a poor person, ultimately, again, will go ahead and... will go ahead and do anything he can in order to save his utensils because they are at a premium. A wealthier person goes that if he gets a hole in his utensil, what does he do? He throws it out, right? He gets rid of it because he can always get another one. So the problem with soldering or smelting or going ahead or patching up utensils in the Beis HaMikdash is it looks like anios. It looks like anios, right? It looks like poverty, and we're going to see ultimately again in the Beis HaMikdash there is the concept of ein anios b'makom ashirus. The Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Osei, is a place of grandeur and a place of wealth. We do not engage in poverty-like behaviors in the midst of a place that is all about grandeur and wealth. Therefore, again, something gets broken, you throw it out. And obviously, you have to dispose of it to Bikdusha as well, which we'll discuss. Similarly, again, if a knife, I will say sakin shenifkam, if the knife breaks or the knife gets a pigam, some type of nick, ein mashchizin as pigmikibasa. So I will say, if you have a knife, you could sharpen out any nicks. We don't do that in the Beis HaMikdash. Mishmita, similarly again, if the blade comes out of the handle, this is amazing. Ein machzirinosa, we don't put it back. Well, now that's very interesting because that appears to be a much easier fix. Right, much easier fix, but nevertheless, again, we don't put it back. Abba Shalom or Sakin Mitarefes Haisav HaMikdash. So Abba Shalom tells a story that the Kohanim once had a knife that was Mitarefes. So say Mitarefes means it has some nicks, and they constantly had to smooth it out. V'nimnu alei Kohanim v'ganzua. And the Kohanim, instead of smoothing it out, what did they do? They decided to put it in Gneza, to put it in Sheamus, right? To hide it away. They both say, now, understand, that's a big thing. Because knives, when it comes, you speak to any shochet, and when it comes to shechita, both say, shochtim have their knives. They have their knives, right? Some other people also have their knives, but stay away from people like that. Those are not people you want to hang around. And let's say, so the idea over here is that for a shochet to go ahead, a shochet is very attached to it. In fact, remember again, we saw in Maseches Yuma that there were cubbies where the Kohanim used to keep their knives because that's dead for Shechita. But once as a Pagam, we don't, what are you doing? You don't sharpen out the imperfections of the knife. Rather, we just simply hide it away. We put it in Geniza because ain't anius b'makom ashirus. So let's say, by the way, I'll just point out to you, this is actually dramatically amazing. We see this concept over and over and over again. The note of Yehuda has a whole piece where he says, but we have a contradictory concept called HaTorah Chassa al Mamonon Shal Yisrael. That we see that in general, again, the Torah, Halacha is very careful with the money of Klal Yisrael. So we'll say it appears that the Beis HaMikdash is the exception to that rule. When it comes to the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we spend money. When it comes to the house of God, we make it beautiful. When it comes to the house, when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, when it comes to the house of the Ribono Shel Olam, we'll say that at the end of the day, Ein Anios B'Makom Ashirus, only top shelf. Only top shelf for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll say it's the one, everywhere else in Halacha, we see that Chazal go out of their way. Chasa Torah al Mamonon Shel Yisrael. Whenever we can save, whenever we don't have to spend, we do so. The no DVD that brings down the one exception to this rule is the Beis HaMikdash. This is not like a building fundraiser, right? But again, right? It's the one exception to this rule, I will say, that ultimately, again, when it comes to the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by definition, everything has to be done b'derech hashirus. Incredible. Which I will say, by the way, that was the Beis HaMikdash. Could have built a much simpler Beis HaMikdash. By definition, it was grand and it was beautiful. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, turn it up on big day kuna. We'll say now we're going to begin to get into the agarat here. Quite beautiful. So the Gemara says, so turn it up on big day kuna ain osin osam maase mechat ela maase oreg. So we'll say ultimately again, so we don't go ahead and make the big day kuhuna a maase mechat. We'll say we don't make it out of sewing. Rather, maase oreg. We'll say it's woven together. So sewing, which is done one thread at a time, that's considered to be a cheaper form of labor. We weave the big day kahuna. Weaving the big day kahuna means, again, it's a much higher end product. Shneimar ma'asa oreg. Bosei, this, by the way, get ready for this halacha. This blew me away. Misgalu. Bosei, what if the big day kahuna get dirty? Ein mechapsin lo b'nesra v'lo ba'or. Bosei, you do not launder big day kahuna with detergent. If it gets so dirty that it has to be get laundered with detergent, then guess what? We decommission it. We know what we do with it. What do you do with old big day kuhuna, Rabbi Osai? So the Gemara brings down in Maseches Yuma, they would go ahead and cut it up and use it for wicks, for the lanterns, for the lights of the Beis HaMikdash. So we do not launder, there's no laundry of the Kohen Gadol. Right, Kohen Gadol has no laundry. Once he goes ahead and he keeps his clothing clean, fine, he can reuse it. The moment it gets dirty and needs to be laundered, ultimately again, with detergent, We decommission it. Amar Abayis. The Gemara says, "Haba Ma'ay Mechapsin." Now we can infer from that detergent you don't launder it with, but water you will launder it with. Amar Abayi Hachi Kamar. This is what it means. Hugu B'Ma'ay Mechapsin Oso B'Neser V'Hol. What it means is as follows: if it only gets mildly soiled to the point that a little bit of water could remove the stains or whatever, then you could launder it even with detergent. Amar Abayis. Hugu B'Neser V'Ol. But if it gets so dirty that it requires detergent, then what? You can't even launder it with water. So both say, Yesh Omrim, and others say, in Mechabzin Osa Kolikra. Others say, no. We don't launder the clothing of the Kohen Gadol at all. At all. If it gets so dirty that it needs to be laundered with detergent, with water, it doesn't make a difference. You decommission it, make it into the wicks. Why? She'ein anius b'makom ashirus. So we'll say, now by the way, I just want to point out, this is like a new level of ashirus, right? A new level of wealth, that I'm so wealthy that I don't even do laundry. Mamish, like that's like a different darga. That's the wealth of the business. We'll say, how do we paskin? So this is amazing. So the halacha is, Rambam says in Hilchos Klei Mikdash, kol begin mi bigdei kuna, shenas mtsoin, ein malavnin osan, ve'ein mechabnin osan, ela manichin lepsilos, Velovesh Chadashim. We'll say the halacha is any of the big day kahuna that get dirty, we do not launder big day kahuna. Rather, once at the end of the day it's dirty, and it's not, you can't really wear it right now because of the dirt. We go ahead and we use it for wicks in the Beis HaMikdash, and we give the Kohen a new article, we give him new clothing. Good. So the Rambam goes on, also the clothing of Yom Kippur could only be used once. Incredible. Incredible. Ten Rabbanan. So now we're going to speak. It's beautiful, beautiful Gemara. Speaking about some of the big deguna. Me'il, Ten Rabbanan, Me'il, Kulo Shal Tchelesaya. So we'll say the Me'il was made all of Tchelas. So we'll say, so the Me'il is like the outer robe of the Kohen Gadol, or of the Kohen, that was made of fully of Tchelas. Shenemar, Vayas Me'il Ha'efod Klil Tchelas. It was a pretty straightforward. The Me'il is made out of Tchelas. Shulav Ketzad, we'll say, what was on the bottom of the Me'il? What was on the bottom of the robe of the Kohen Gadol? So, listen to this, we'll say. So, maybe Tchelas Va'argaman Utola Shani Shazurin. You would bring up, we'll say, Tchelas is blue wool, Argamon is purple wool, Tola Ashani is red wool, Shizurin, and you would take all of these threads and wind and twist them together. Va'osa osan kemin rimonim shelopis chupien, and you would, Rosa, you would fashion these threads in the form of pomegranates whose mouths have not opened. What's about this? The first, if you ever see like pomegranates on the tree, so the longer they remain on the tree, their mouths open up. When they, meaning the top of the tree opens, it opens up. So they would look like pomegranates before the mouth opens up. Ukamin konaos shalkanasos sheberoshe tinokos. We'll say they look like the cone type of hats that children used to wear when they were playing. Umevi shivim ushnaim zogin, shevam shivim ushnaim in balin. We'll say what happens? You would bring 72 zogin. We'll say zogin are bells. Shevahen Shevun Ushnayin in Balin. An inbal, we'll say, is the, what do they call it? Like the clapper, right? The thing inside the bell that makes noise, that clanks against the side of the bell. So we'll say, understand this incredible image. So they made 72 of these woven pomegranates. They brought 72 bells, 72 clappers, and what happens? Vitola Bahen. And we'll say they would put the bell, the clappers inside the bells, and the bells inside the pomegranates. Which so the Gemara says, or I should say next to the pomegranates. The Tola Bohen, Shloshim Vishisha Bitzadzeh, Ushloshim Vishisha Bitzad Nitzad Mizeh. I will say they would put 36 of them on one side, 36 bells, pomegranates on one side. Because remember, the Me'il itself, Rabbi Osai, was something that the Kohen would put over his head. So he put it over his head and it hung down on both sides. So 36 on the side in front of him, 36 on the side in back of him. Rabbi Dos Omer Mishum, Rabbi Yehuda, no. Shloshim Shishay, no. There were not 72 bells and pomegranates. Rather, there were what? There were 36. Shmona Shemit Sadzeh, 18 on the front side, 18 on the back side. Amar Rabbi Inyoni, or say Inyoni Bar Sasson. Because Rabbi Inyoni Bar Sasson said, "Ki machlokes kan kach machlokes b'maros negoyim." But say it's interesting. Same way they have a machlokes over here by the pomegranates and the bells of the coin. Was it 36 or was it 72? Was it 36 on each side or 18 on each side? This same machlokes, when they say the same machlokes, it just means that there's machlokes about the number of things by tzara'as as well. What happened by tzara'as? Rashi says, "Remaros negoim letame maftuchin shalavan adamdam ulavanim shalniskeros." Listen to this. This nun, maros negoim. We'll say when it comes to leprosy, maros negoim. Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus, or Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus says, "Lamed vav." Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus will say there are 36 different forms of tzara'as. Akavi ben Mahalo Omer Shivim Ushnayim. We'll say all the Gemara is just trying to do is show that just like over here by the pomegranates bells, it's a machlokas 36-72. So too by tzara'as, it was also machlokas 36-72. Rabbi Yoni bar Sasson, says how beautiful this is. Lama nismucha parshas karbanos, the parshas big dekuna. What says Rabbi Yoni bar Sasson asks, why is it that the parsha of karbanos is juxtaposed to the parsha of big dekuna, right, of Kohanic clothing? Why? Lomer lecha. We'll say to teach us that just as karbonos are mechaper, so too big day kuhuna are mechaper. So we'll say, what are big day kuhuna mechaper? We'll say, it's so beautiful. What is big day kuhuna mechaper for? So ksonas mechaper is ashrichos damim. So we'll say, ultimately again, ksonas is the tunic of the Kohen. So the ksonas is mechaper on bloodshed. Shene emar, vayishchatu seir izim, vayitblu zakizonas badam. Rabbi says, listen to how beautiful this is. Why? Because Rabbi says, when it comes to what did Yosef's brothers do? When they sold him and they wanted to fool Yaakov and tell him, to make him think that Yosef ultimately again was killed by an animal, they took Yosef's tunic, his ksones, they shecked it and put the blood on it. So it was like they deceived their brother, they deceived their father with the ksones. Therefore, the ksones of the kohen is mechaper for bloodshed. Michnasayim, the pants of the kohen, mechaperas al gili arayos. Ultimately, again, that atones ultimately for Imrati, which Rabbi says makes sense. You know, the pants cover the makom erva, so that is mechaper ultimately again for any transgressions of arayos. Shneamar va'asalah michnasebad lachasos as baser erva. Mitznefes, Rabbi says the mitznefes is the hat of the kohen gadol. That's mechaper al gasei haruach. Rabbi says that's mechaper ultimately for gaiva, for arrogance. So the Gemara says, "Minayin Amar Bichanina Yavo Davar Shebegova, an item that is worn high on the head, v'chaper al gova, and should be mechaper for those who hold their head too high. Holding your head high could be a sign of arrogance. So ultimately, again, the mitznefes is mechaper arrogance. Beautiful. Avnit mechaper hira. They will say the belt of the coin. The belt of the coin is ultimately mechaper for hira halev, impure thoughts." Rosh Tehira Aliv, desire in the heart to sin. Heicha de'ise. Because it was interesting enough, we know that the Avnet wasn't really worn at the waist. It was worn above the waist, below the heart. Therefore, it's mechaper for the impure wants of the heart. Choshen. We'll say the Choshen is the breastplate that has the 12 stones on it. Mechaper aladinin. We'll say that is mechaper ultimately for what? Ultimately for erroneous judgments. Shene emar va'asisa choshen mishpat. Ephod. Both say the ephod is the apron, mechaper al avodas kochavim. That's mechaper ultimately for idolatry. Shnei emar, ein ephod utrafim. When there is no ephod and trafim, so it's just a little bit of a play on words. So yav mi'il, both say what about the mi'il? Mechaper al lashon hara. That is mechaper for lashon hara. Minai, where do we know that from? Am Rabbi Chanina, yavo davar shebekol. So also ultimately again, so we both say the mi'il, which we just said before, what does the mi'il have on the bottom of it? It has the bells. So something that makes noise should come and be mechaper al kol hara. We'll say when a person speaks lashon hara, they're making bad noise, right? So the bad noise, the kol hara of lashon hara, is atoned for through the bells, the beautiful noise of the mi'il. So beautiful. V'tzitz. But we'll say that tzitz is the metal plate worn on the forehead of the kohen gadol, mechaper al azos panim. But we'll say that is also mechaper. We'll say on brazenness. So betzitz ksev v'haya meitzach aron. We'll say by the tzitz it says it shall be on the forehead of Aaron. Uba azos panim. We'll say on brazenness it says umeitzach isha zona hayilcha. We'll say when the navi wants to rebuke Klal Yisrael, the navi says you have like the forehead of a harlot. Or doesn't have a fart of it. Just like again, the zona is brazen, so to Klal Yisrael sometimes it's too brazen. It is the tzitz that is mechaper ultimately again for the brazenness of Klal Yisrael. Ini, is this so? So see so beautifully how every different part of the Big Day Kahuna is mechaper for different divers of Klal Yisrael. Ini, is this so? Vamar Yishab ben Levi, Shnei Dvarim Lomatzinu ben Kapara. There are two things I will say for which there is no kapara. What are those two things? I'm sorry, two things for which we do not find kapara by karbanos. Umatzino lo kapara mimakom achar. But yet, we do find kapara for them in other places. They learn about, say, what are these? Shvichus tamim v'lashon hara. Right? Bloodshed and lashon hara. Shvichus tamim, Rabbi says, shvichus tamim, where is it atoned for? Me'egla rufa. Egla rufa atones for shvichus tamim. Lashon hara, miktores. D'tani Rabbi Chanina, Chananya, minayin l'ktoresh mechaper. I suppose, how that ketores atones for lashon hara? Shene emar, v'yitin es haketores v'yichaper ala'am. But we'll say ultimately, again, this is in the aftermath of the rebellion of Korach. Korach spoke lashon hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, and yet, again, what? So then there's a plague that breaks out. What stops the plague? It's the ketores. The Tani Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, Alma ketores mechaper as lashon hara. What is ketores mechaper for? Ketores is mechaper for lashon hara. Why? Yavol davar shebechashai, v'yichaper amase chashai. Let something that is brought in private, because once remember again, where is Ketores brought? Ketores is brought inside the Beis HaMikdash by the inner Mizbeach. So let something that is brought in private atone for something that is done in private. Very often, Lashon Hara is spoken privately between people. Let something that is done in private, the Ketores, atone for something that is often done in private, i.e. Lashon Hara. So we'll say, so we have a Shaila, Kashia Lashon Hara, Kashia Shichus Tam, Kashia Shichus Tam. So we'll say, and if we just said before that the Big Day Kahuna do atone for Shvichos Tamim, murder, and Lashon Hara. Yet the Gebraisa here just said, Big Day Kahuna do not atone for Shvichos Damim and Lashon Hara, but rather Shvichos Damim is atoned for through Egla Arufa. Lashon Hara is atoned for through what? Through Ktores. So which one is it? Well, let's just finish this up. So the Gemara says, Shvichos Damim, Shvichos Damim, no Kashya. Hadi Yediya Man Katle, Hadi Lo Yediya Man Katle. But I'll say ultimately again, if you know who committed the murder, then the kisonis is mechaper on the tzibor, that the tzibor should not be punished. Versus the egla arufa, which is done when you don't know who the murderer is. The Gemara says, what? So the Gemara says, idi adia man katle barktalo. If you know who committed the murder, forget about the kisonis being mechaper for the murder. Kill the guy. You have to execute the individual. To which the Gemara says, the case we're dealing with over here is bemezid v'lo asurbe. We'll say, if you have a case of a person who murdered intentionally, but yet there was no hasra, if you murdered intentionally, there was no hasra, then what's Rabbo say? You can't execute the person. In that case, then what? The kisonis is mechaper for Klal Yisrael, that we should not be held responsible for having a murderer in our midst. That's the case, ultimately, again, where the Big Day Kuna can be mechaper ultimately for murder. But Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara, Nami Lokasha. But say there's a contradiction between Lashon Hara either. How? Habitzina, Habifarhes. You also look at the last Rashi. Bitzina, Davadar Bechashai, Ktors Mechaper, Shumase, Hashai. You also say, when Lashon Hara is spoken privately. Privately. So the Ketores is mechaper for Lashon Hara. That is what we'll say. Now, by the way, don't get excited about this. Ah, Ketores is mechaper for Lashon Hara. Givaldik, right? Givaldik. That's not what it means. What it means, we'll say, is as follows. That there's collective responsibility on the part of Klal Yisrael. So if there are people speaking Lashon Hara, even if I am not one of them, ultimately, again, there's still an element of collective responsibility. The Ketores takes care of the collective responsibility when Lashon Hara is spoken privately. What doesn't the Ketores take care of? What doesn't it take care of? The individual speaker's responsibility. So when Ketores is spoken privately, the Ketores takes care of national responsibility, Habifar Hesya. But say ultimately, again, when Lashon Hara is spoken publicly, then it is the Pa'amonim. Then it is the bells on the bottom of the Me'il that have the ability to atone for Klal Yisrael. The speaker of Lashon Hara has to do his own Shuvah, but ultimately, again, when you have public, so private Lashon Hara, the Ketores takes care of it. Public Lashon Hara, the Pa'amonim, the bells, ultimately, again, of the meaning of the coin, take care of it. We'll say, Hadrin Allah, Mizbeach Mekadesh, Mazel Tov. Shkach, we'll begin Amir Hashem, the new parak tomorrow. Say that once more.